The thing that people need to focus on is how are they going to make the tough decisions when the time comes? How are they going to make the tough decisions for themselves? How are they going to make the tough decisions for their loved ones if they're called upon to do it? We have decisions that we need to make for our loved ones that our parents did not have to make for their parents. And obviously, I think, you know, some signposts and landmarks about what death looks like and how that they can be an effective caregiver and a caregiver for Christ in an intentional way.
Today, when you lose someone to death that you love and you care about, are you prepared? The issues we face today are serious, end-of-life issues. And we're going to focus on that. We're going to get right into it here in just a minute at the Intentional Living Center.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a counselor and coach, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open and they're toll-free, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. And today we're focusing on end-of-life issues. They come. It's a reality. You're going to face it with someone that you love and you care about if you already haven't. And the question is, how do you do that? What is a Christian approach to these end-of-life issues in a practical way? And if you have a contribution for today's program, meaning you've been through this and you've learned a lesson, you can start the discussion on Facebook by going to Facebook/Intentional Living, on Twitter at The IL Center, or you can call and leave your story with us as you call 888-888-1717. Well, if you've lived as many years as I have, you've had a few losses and people you love and you care for. And sometimes you have an opportunity to be involved in helping make decisions or helping the loved one make decisions and how they want that handled. I know when my dad was seriously ill and near the end of his life, and he went into a coma, in fact, in the last 3 weeks, he didn't really have a living will. He never really expressed to us what his desires were for advanced care and treatment and so on. And it was getting to the place where the family was going to have to make a decision. But God intervened. He stepped in and brought my dad home. But I know for others, you don't know what the family member wants or their desires or their intentions. And that can be very hurtful, and it can be very difficult. So today we're going to hear the story. We got Steve Brennan joining us in a moment as a nurse for 40 years. He's going to tell what he's learned in helping and standing by families going through these, facing these end-of-life issues. You can share your comment as well, 888-888-1717.
I live intentionally by taking in my 81-year-old mother-in-law, who actually has four sons of her own and a daughter who is my wife. And the mother-in-law does not like me whatsoever, but I feel it's God's will for me to provide for her, as her own sons will not. And she thinks that the reason that her sons don't visit her is because of me. I try not to carry that burden on my shoulders. I let it go. I let God have those problems, and I pray every day for strength to carry on. And she's a lovely, wonderful lady, just doesn't understand what's going on in life. And I'm happy to help. I love her, and I love her daughter, and I love her family.
Our storyline's open for you today, so you too can share your story with us or your question when you call 888-888-1717. Dr. Randy Carlson here. We've got Stephen Brennan on the line. Steve is a nurse, but not only a nurse, but he has a very powerful ministry within hospice care and those facing terminal illness. And we want to be real practical today as we're trying to help us as individuals be intentional in caregiving and caring for those that we love when they're going through this part of their life. Steve, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Carlson. Thank you for having me.
How did you get into nursing?
That actually happened probably about 40 years this week. I was injured in the service during a combat training exercise, and I ended up at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And I was a patient for a number of months, lying alongside of some very brave men coming home from Vietnam. And the nurses, the Army Corps nurses, were just the most wonderful caregivers. And I thought to myself as I laid there in the hospital for those many months, if I get out of this and I do okay, I hope to become a nurse. So when I did get out of the service in 1975, I went straight into nursing school. And I've been doing it ever since.
Good for you. And for those who can't pick up your accent, you're from Massachusetts.
I am.
Yeah, we
it's
hear
easy
that.
To pick up, I
we hear it coming through, absolutely. And that's good. Now, Steve, you're a nurse and you work in a hospice. Tell me, how'd you land there? Was that just out of a heart desire to work with those who are terminally ill?
No, I think that was actually, well, yeah, I think it was an intentional decision. Obviously, having a strong faith in God and then working with so many families and so many dying patients in my general practice as a long-term care nurse, I just saw such an opportunity and a need, and frankly, a need for Christians to get an understanding of end-of-life care so that they could make informed decisions that they could feel were comfortable scripturally.
Steve Brennan's on the line. Stephen is an author of a book called The Mist Vanishes. It's a Christian caregiver's guide to end-of-life care. By the way, if you'd like to know more about this, come to our highlights page. You know the drill. Come to theintentionallife.com and click on the today's broadcast, and information will be there. Steve, you're a nurse. You work with those at the end of life. What are some really practical things that caregivers need to consider who've not prepared themselves all that much, but here they are, and they're caring for those that they love? What are things they need to consider?
Well, I think what they need to consider is the same things that they need to consider for themselves. And the folks of my generation, 50s and 60s, we've had a unique opportunity to be able to do that. I think for our parents' generation, unfortunately, they didn't have the same available education and programs that were available to really educate folks. But I would say the thing that people need to focus on is how are they going to make the tough decisions when the time comes? How are they going to make the tough decisions for themselves? How are they going to make the tough decisions for their loved ones if they're called upon to do it? The medical technology that's involved, there's an awful lot of that involved today. When I became a nurse almost 40 years ago, things were very, very much different than they are today. We have decisions that we need to make for our loved ones that our parents did not have to make for their parents. So I think those are considerations that they need to make. Obviously, pain control options, what's available for them there, their individual reactions to death, spiritual care, the desires of their loved ones, advanced directives, do they have health care proxies in place, do they have a living will in place, and obviously, I think, you know, some signposts and landmarks about what death looks like and how that they can be an effective caregiver and a caregiver for Christ in an intentional way.
You know, when we think about caring for those at end of life, there's some people who fear even talking to their loved one about the end of life. What's been your experience, Steve, from the standpoint of those going through the end of life? Do they want to talk about this? Do they want it out on the table generally? Or is it something, it'd be just, we deal with the functional issues, but we don't talk about the emotions and the spiritual things?
I think they do. I think overall, most people, when they're really, really approached honestly by a loved one, by a family member, they do want to talk about it. They do want to be able to share what they would like to have and what they would like not to have at the end of life. I mean, there are a lot of things to think about, and certainly we want to, as Christians, be able to impart that to them. I mean, it is an awful lot of options. Hospices are very, very different. You can have a dying experience in the home or in a hospital or in a nursing center. I mean, there are an awful lot of things to consider, and folks, I think, do want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a critical part of this process. When you don't want to look back afterward and say, you know, I never had a chance to share with Mom or Dad or talk about these things or resolve these issues. You know, this is an opportunity that you have, frankly, that some people don't when there's an immediate death and it just all of a sudden it's upon you. Through the hospice care, there's usually an opportunity to talk about these things and hopefully restore some relationships, talk about not only the functional things that you're going through, but the relationship part of it as well. I'll tell you what, Steve, I'd like to encourage listeners who'd like to read more about this as a guide to end-life care to come to our highlights page. Click on today's broadcast, find out more about your book, The Mist Vanishes. What one thing over everything else should a caregiver look at with as far as taking care of themselves as well as they go through this?
Yeah, I think that having a strong faith, having a functional faith in God and knowing that trusting in Him and knowing that He is the center of any caregiving experience, and He should be the center of any decision making that we have to make throughout our lives, not just in the end of our lives.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, thanks for being with me. I hope people find it helpful today. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living.
Thanks so very much, Dr. Randy. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, my parents retired in Florida, and my dad died, and my mother stayed in Florida for 20 years, and finally at age 89, I convinced her to move to Missouri, where I'm at. She's not an outgoing person. I was afraid she wouldn't really make friends in a new environment.
About 3 years ago, my mother suffered a debilitating stroke, and my mother had been caring for my older brother, who is disabled. He has mental disabilities. Mom was released. She couldn't go back and care for herself, let alone anyone else. I moved my mother, my brother, and their dog into my home. They were here for close to a year, and I just realized I just couldn't do it. It was just too physically demanding and emotionally exhausting.
I was emotionally exhausted just hearing all that you're doing. You know, there are limits. We all have limits. And sometimes we just have to stop and be very practical and realistic in terms of, can I take it all on? As you mentioned, bringing in the dog, I could hear the like, oh, that's sometimes the biggest part of the project. Maybe you're just not up to all of it. You know, you just have to have some limits. And I say that out of reality, because ultimately, like the in the airplane where it says, if the airbag falls out of the ceiling, make sure you put yours on first. So then you are able to have oxygen to take care of your children and elderly and other people with you. And my heart goes out to caregivers. Listen, take care of yourself. Make sure you're taking care of yourself in a way that gives you the strength to care for others, okay? More on end-of-life issues and serious issues of life right here coming up in a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. To find out more about Steve Brennan, drop by our highlights page. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Coming up in the second half, Randy talks to Chaplain Chuck Behrens about the kind of communicating families need to do during end-of-life care. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. If you're in a family business, I have something very important to share with you. We've assembled an expert faculty of godly men and women to join me in leading a very practical two-day limited seating conference covering topics you've told us are important to you and your family business. Topics on relationships, shared mission and vision, problem solving, succession, and estate planning and finance. It's May 28th and 29th at the beautiful Biltmore Resort. So don't miss the April early bird discount period. Register today. Go to familybusinessconference.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. So, got any ideas on what your one thing should be? Here are a few people that figured it out, and maybe they'll be an inspiration for you. Stephanie will speak to her daughter in a calm, quiet voice, even when she's frustrated. One of the ways John is going to serve the Lord is by being an usher at his church. Brittany is going to work on her work ethic. And Julie is going to walk in silence for at least 10 minutes every day so she can listen to God. So does that give you any ideas? If they did, tell us what your one thing is. Join the Intentional One Thing Challenge at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Randy?
Thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to the Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy Carlson here today. I have Chuck Behrens on the line from Cleveland, Ohio, and he works in hospice care. And he makes a statement that I think will kind of set the stage of what I'd like to talk about as we think about being intentional. He says the patients that he's worked with there as a chaplain and assisting the families didn't teach him how to die, but taught him how to live. And I think that's a really profound statement. Chuck, welcome to the Intentional Living Center, my friend.
It is an honor. Thank you so much, Dr. Carlson.
You stand alongside of families and individuals at one of the most critical times of any person's life, the most important perhaps, coming to the end of life and reflecting on their lives and eternity and so on. That's a very precious thing, an important place to be in a person's life. How'd you choose to do this, and what have you learned about being intentional in the process?
I don't know if I'll pick this job or this job picked me, or maybe a little bit of both. I think as many people who work in hospice or maybe even healthcare in general would say that it's a calling, and it absolutely is. I've been doing it now for about 20 years. Before that, I was working in a parish as a minister and also doing some part-time work at an area hospital as a chaplain. And I got to meet an awful lot of hospice families and patients and staff during that time. And it was about 20 years ago where I made that decision. You know what, maybe I should flip-flop here a little bit and become a full-time hospice chaplain and a part-time pastor. That's kind of what I've done, and I've never looked back. And I've got to tell you, just to piggyback a little bit on that statement that I made, because I do believe it's absolutely true, there is not one patient in these 20 years that has ever taught me what it's like to die, but every one of them has shown me emphatically and dramatically what it is like to live. Yeah. And I think one of those things that I certainly touch upon at that particular point is that, well, we've done the studies, each and every one of us. You and I talking, and certainly everyone listening, we're going to have that day where it's going to be our time. Mm-hmm. And I believe God has blessed me very, very powerfully with the best seat in and out of this world.
Well, what one thing have you learned as you talk about learning how to live? What has the last 20 years taught you in terms of the value of life and the importance of living every day?
That even when that time is ready, it still is a shock to us. Even with hospice, and sometimes these folks have this diagnosis for 3 months, 6 months, several years, because it's a terminal diagnosis. It may not be cancer. It could be ALS or MS or Alzheimer's. It could be any life-threatening terminal disease. And I think what that's taught me is that no matter when that time comes, no matter how much we think we're prepared, we really are not prepared.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit surprising to me. It may be surprising to listeners, but it's absolutely true, because it's going to happen to somebody else. It's not going to happen to me.
Hmm. Talk about reality today, reality television and reality life. This is reality. You stand at a point where people are facing a bridge. They're going from one position to another position. You know, as we face death, and I would imagine as a pastor, you're concerned about the spiritual well-being of these folks as well, and sharing Christ with these folks. What do you say to families who are listening, though, today? When you think about being intentional, you talk about communication, I understand, and the value of that. What kinds of things should they be communicating about?
You know what, Randy? It's not so much what you say. It's that you are present. And I know that sounds very cheap, but actually, when you are wholly present to that person, I really do believe in a way that maybe you can't ever experience at another time. And this is the thing that's so awesome for me. It happened this morning. I believe it'll happen tomorrow. It'll happen any other time that I feel I'm at a bedside of a patient. That literally, the word does still become flesh and dwell among us.
Hmm.
It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago in the book of John. It's still happening today, where that reality that Christ is still very present, and guess what? With all of our foibles, with all of our flaws, he somehow still finds a way to use us, even in that weakness, to be him at a time when folks desperately need him.
Boy, that's so true. Hey, hold on for a minute, Chuck. Chuck Behrens is my guest. He was a pastor who worked part-time in hospice and now full-time in hospice and part-time as a pastor in ministry, as a chaplain, standing alongside of families who are going through a time of loss and death, and talking about the importance of living every day intentionally for Christ. I know sometimes we learn the most from stories. As we hear stories, maybe you could share one or two stories of some families you've stood with that might be instructive for the rest of us, or remind us of the value of life and the importance of living intentionally in Christ. We'll be back with Chuck Behrens here in just a little bit.
About a year ago, my 75-year-old father had gotten himself involved in internet scams.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went 3 hours over into Oklahoma to help take care of his business and kind of call him out on this issue and what's going on, Dad. We had our first fight. And it came to light that I just needed to take over. And he was in a mess that he couldn't get out of. That's what it seemed like to me, and I wanted to help, just try to take care of him. So my sister and I went to pick him up the next morning, and he was dead in his bed, gone forever. So the last evening I was spending with my dad, I spent fighting, and that is a big heartbreak.
You know, the stories matter here at Intentional Living Center a great deal. That's why when you call 888-888-1717 and hit the storyline button, we listen. And many of those stories hit the program in the weeks ahead. So come and join us. Chuck Behrens is on the line in Cleveland, Ohio. He works in hospice for nearly 20 years now. And over those years, I'm sure you stood by hundreds of families and those who have been at the point of death. And can you share a story or two that might be instructive for us as we think about our own life and eternity and the value of life and being intentional?
You know, one of the stories that comes to mind is a gentleman, he called himself the world's oldest altar boy. Now, he was a very devout Catholic, and he was about 83 years old, and up until about the last 6 months of his life, he wasn't able to do that duty that he had done for a good bit of his life. He was the guy, in the wintertime, he made sure the furnace was all stoked up, the lights were on before services. In the summertime, the air conditioning was on, and the windows were open, and everything was set on the altar. And I remember one particular day, I got a phone call, said that she was very concerned about him because she went back into his room after she provided some care, and she saw him throwing out his pain medication. Generally in hospice, if it's not a clinical matter, it's not a psychosocial matter, it must be a spiritual matter. And so they called me, and I had a real good relationship with George. And I went in and I said, George, I heard you got busted. And he said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, can you explain a little bit about that to me? I said, because, George, I'm not a guy that likes pain in any form. And I can't understand why you would ever, ever want to throw out your pain medication. And I think it's got your family pretty concerned, too, because this is what we promised, George. We promised comfort care. We promise that not only physically, but as much emotionally and spiritually as we possibly can. Can you share a little bit with me about why you threw out your meds? And because we've had many different talks, some of them very deeply theological, he told me that he threw out his meds because Jesus Christ died for him. And I got to tell you, when I first heard that, it almost felt like I was a major league all-star batter and the pitcher threw me the most perfect pitch in the world, and I was ready to take that over the left field fence. And I said, well, George, listen, because we've had so many talks before, I know that you believe that God loves you unconditionally. And I know that you also believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. So you don't have to suffer because those two things have made it possible. You certainly are within his hands, the very hands that have created you are now the hands that hold you. And he said, you don't get it, do you? And I said, no, help me explain. He said, well, because God loves me unconditionally, because Jesus Christ died for my sins, I want to do this. I want to die painfully. It's not an act of contrition. It is an act of devotion. And I got to tell you, Dr. Carlson, it was one of the most painful deaths that I think I've ever witnessed. But the man was absolutely happy. Wow. And I almost took that from him. I almost stole his happiness by saying, oh, no, you don't know about life and death, and you certainly don't know about this time. Let's make sure that we drug you up. Let's make sure that we make you comfortable. Let's make sure that the people that come to see you don't see you suffer. And he showed me a different way of a faith and an act of faith that I never experienced before personally or professionally.
Wow. That's quite a story, and I know you have many. Now, Chuck, let me ask you personally, 20 years, as you said, we're all going to face this at some point, hospice or hospital or home or wherever, but we're at the end of our lives. How has this experience for the last 20 years prepared you for your own death?
I'm probably going to say something that maybe your listeners have never heard before, and it's almost going to sound like I'm a heretic here. I do not believe in heaven. I know that it exists, and there's a big difference there. And people will say, how can you make that kind of a statement? I can make that kind of a statement because I've been at that bedside when people literally have taken their last breath here and what I truly know to be their next breath there. I've seen their facial expressions. I've seen them reach out. I've seen them, you know, exclaim, there you are, or wow, or I'm ready. I mean, it's not something that I don't believe anymore. It's something that I entirely know. And I think personally and professionally, I don't know that you could ever learn that in seminary or at a clinical pastoral education class or by somebody else's experience or somebody else's story told. But when you're present to that, and I mean present with a group of people that are spanning all kinds of religions, certainly all kinds of cultures, when they can put you in that place because they've invited you there, and it's such a humbling place to be. And when I can see that, it's really hard for me to even begin to doubt or question, maybe that doesn't exist. They've shown me that there is that place and there is that one that is there and always present in our lives, the Alpha and truly the Omega.
Hmm. Chuck, very powerful. Thank you for taking time to speak to those of us who are living, that we may, the scripture says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. You know, and I hope that we'll hear your message that death comes to all of us. You know, the Bible tells us that, even in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to die and there's a time to be born. And I hope that through today's program, we focus on the reality of living our lives intentionally, enjoying this moment, worshiping God, serving Him, caring for people, loving others, and being intentional in our walk with Him. So when we face that moment in time, we have few regrets or none at all, knowing where we're headed and how we've lived our lives. Chuck, thanks for being a part of the program today, and God bless you.
Dr. Carlson, it is a complete honor, and God bless you and your continued ministry, sir. Thank you so much for what you do.
This is Steve Tanner with news about our aging parents. Your parents want to live a robust life and finish strong. How can you encourage them? The Mayo Clinic says one way you can help your parents is to be on the lookout for 7 warning signs of health problems. The problems include whether your folks are taking care of themselves well, are they experiencing memory loss, have they lost weight, and are they in general good spirits? And if you detect trouble in one of these areas, Mayo encourages you to talk it over with your mom or dad, encourage them to get regular checkups, and be sure to address safety issues in their home. Helping your parents live the intentional life they want to live may require you taking some intentional steps to help them. To see the complete list of the Mayo Clinic recommendations, go to today's highlights page at theintentionallife.com. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
Wow, very practical stuff. Thank you, Steve. As we wrap up the program today, just another reminder, April is early bird registration time for the very unique, one-of-a-kind family business conference for Christian families in business. Moms and dads, kids, maybe you have a large family or maybe a very small, just you and your spouse. Get registered. It's May 28th and 29th, the Biltmore in Phoenix. Great speakers, very unique conference. You can register today. Go to familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. See you next time from Intentional Living.